0467 922 702 is the number if you want to essentially harass me with random text. That's totally fine. That's what I'm here for. We're joined now by tech commentator extraordinaire, Still Gary, and you must have received some random messages in your time, Still.
The last one was about 3:30 a.m. and I don't wish to go into it. Thanks, Tom.
Okay, that's totally fine. Now, you've just been gallivanting around. You're in San Francisco. You've conferences today.
Yeah.
But I imagine you've nevertheless, with your relentless hawk-like monitoring of tech news and social media, you've been reading about all this stuff to do with data retention. The government's bringing in some new rules that has been concerning a privacy advocate somewhat.
Yeah, talking about bringing in some new rules, but proposals that have been kicking around for a while. So the magic words here are data retention. You'll hear it being referred to as that. And from the law enforcement side of the equation, they've got, like, the first step of this is actually quite reasonable, that all of the legislation for the police to find out what you're doing if you're suspected of a crime, on a serious crime, and they want to intercept your phone calls or get your phone records, then the law only talks about the telephone. But so much of our communication is moving off the telephone onto the internet. And so they're worried about becoming blind, effectively.
So for those who've watched the magnificent HBO TV series The Wire, you'll know of the importance of wiretaps of telephones.
Absolutely. Wiretaps is an American word, sir.
What do we call them?
We call them telephone intercepts.
Telephonic intercepts. Yes, it's so there you go. So one good way of catching crooks has been to tap into their phones.
That's right.
What happens when there's an email?
What happens when it's an encrypted message through Skype? What happens when it's a Twitter private message? What happens when they're leaving it on a comment page on some private forum out somewhere?
And they go further than that. There are all sorts of places where very nefarious things happen, and there's a thing called the internet relay chat that I think is
That's not nefarious in and of itself.
But in some dark corners thereof.
Yes. Internet relay chat was all the old geeks are now going, oh, yes, IRC, I remember that. It was a really, it was the original text-based chat on the internet, but it was really easy to automate conversations on it and encrypt it and hide it and run your own server. And funnily enough, the technology is still the core of a lot of live chat environments today. They've just put like a fancy interface on the front of it so it looks pretty and it's easier to use.
So part of the reason for mentioning IRC is that this has been an issue for sort of 10 to 20 years. People have been
talking
on all of these
internet
systems, and it makes it harder for the police to monitor. So you think it's reasonable that we should extend the current laws that cover the phone into this environment?
Well, we need to do something about it. Otherwise, I mean, the police will have the very real problem that they will go blind. But the question is, how do you define what the new limits are in this environment? Because the thing about, you know, the police, if it's about intercepting your telephone calls, they need a certain amount of, you know, reasonable suspicion. Mm. They can get your telephone records, which is who you called and when and from what numbers and which numbers you called. They don't need a warrant to get that. That's in the law now. They've had that for many years.
So they can look at your bill, basically.
Pretty much, it's the stuff that you get that you see on your phone bill. The police, any officer above the rank of superintendent, I think, can pretty much just ask for that, and they get it.
Well, this is the other thing from The Wire, of course, is that we know they've got to go to the judge and get the warrant.
That's right. And that's, okay, there's obviously differences between American and Australian law, but that's the basic deal. If you actually want to hear what people are saying, you need to get a warrant.
I'm sorry to blur this with American pop culture references.
This is actually one of the things which is, it's great because it comes up in the debate all the time, and it comes up in almost any debate of law and public policy in Australia, is that most of Australian citizens actually learnt their law from watching Law and Order.
Yeah, I just want McNulty to catch Marlowe. Is that so wrong?
That's in-joke stuff. But The Wire's mainstream now. We can talk about can't we?
Sorry if you haven't seen it. It's a very good series. Yes, I recommend it to you unreservedly. It is excellent, The Wire.
But you've got to treat it as like a Dickens novel or Shakespeare, because the thing about The Wire, of course, is they're all talking Baltimore black street drug dealer ghetto language without explaining it.
But then you don't even
know the slang, do you? It's like, what are they talking about? And the story arcs go for dozens of episodes, and suddenly there'll be a snippet of a scene which relates to something you saw in series one. And why are we even talking about The Wire?
It requires our full attention. I'm sorry, we've gone down the alleyway at The Wire, one of my favourite TV shows.
Absolutely.
In years.
And Charlie Brooker thinks it's the greatest television programme of the decade.
He does, and it's hard to disagree. Certainly not including comedy, but the best drama I've ever watched on TV. Anyway, that's completely different from what we're talking about, which is how this sort of stuff applies in Australian law. Stilgarian's with us to demystify this, as well as provide commentary on pretty much anything I throw at him, which is a wonderful thing. So the government wants them to retain what?
Well, that's the big question. So the question is, what exactly do we want to keep? So the equivalent of your phone bill. But the problem is there are multiple players when you say, let's say you're kind of posting private messages on Facebook. The players include your internet service provider, who you use to connect to the internet, and they're the people who can match your internet address, the IP address, the 203.7.6.15. They can match that to their account details for whose account, whose computer, or who, you know, was connected to the internet on that address at that time. So they need that, but then they also need to talk to Facebook at the other end to go, well, this private message was sent from which internet address? So they kind of need to get information from both players if they want to join all the dots.
Okay, so this is interesting. So in order to actually intercept all of these things, the police need pretty detailed records.
Yes.
About what messages were sent, by whom, from where, and so on and so forth.
That's right. Now, there was a law that has been passed by Parliament already just a couple of weeks ago, which did the first step of that. Under this, it was called the Cybercrime Legislation Amendment Bill of 2011, but it took until 2012 for it to get through Parliament.
Yeah.
Now, it was about at least the police could issue an order, which was called a data retention order, which said, okay, here's some named people. Let's say your internet provider was Telstra Big Pond. They're the biggest player in the country. And so the police could go to Telstra and say, like in the equivalent of without a warrant getting the records, they could say, okay, here are the named customers, retain the data about everything they're doing on the internet. We'll come back later with a warrant to get access to that data.
Yeah, so they can't hand it over until...
Until there's a warrant,
but they can sort of say, look, start tracking.
That's right. And in fact, that is not so much of a worry. And I can hear, you know, in my head, some people are already going, oh, that's evil. They're tracking our internet use. But it's like, this is already happening informally.
Yeah.
Like the local police detective inspector will phone up the internet service provider and say, hey, in a few weeks, we'll probably be coming back with a subpoena to get this information from you. So would you please kindly not make it disappear in the meantime?
Okay, but in essence, it can't be used against you until the court says okay, which they presumably only do
when they've got a warrant.
If there's justifiable cause.
That's correct. Now, that's through already.
Yep.
And that law was passed so that we could join some international treaties, which I won't go into now because it's really complicated.
So that's already been granted.
That's right. So they haven't worked out anything procedural, but that was kind of happening anyway. Now, separately to that, there is a parliamentary inquiry into legislation affecting our national security. Now, the government's actually done something very sensible here, I think, which normally... What happens is ASIO and the federal police and the state police go, dear government, we need these new laws. They kind of do it at a regular basis. And Greens Senator Scott Ludlam is often saying it feels like every fortnight they come in with more stuff. What has happened this time, for the first time ever, an attorney general, in this case Nicola Roxon, has said, gee, there's a lot of stuff there. Maybe we should have an inquiry and get public opinion and so on and so forth. And that's what's happening now. So... the proposal includes some stuff like we've just heard, but there is also, like, kind of down the bottom of the list in the shady area of we'd like to actually go this far, and law enforcement is putting in an ambit claim effectively, saying, how about we just every internet service provider and maybe even content providers, and I'm not quite sure how much they're pushing that angle.
Yeah.
By content providers, I mean Facebook, Twitter, you know, blogging networks and things like that. They're saying, how about we just keep all of it for 2 years?
In case we need to subpoena it.
In case we need to subpoena it later. Now, This is also happening in the UK, and that is right this week. They're having their parliamentary quiet
right
now. And there is no coincidence in that. The attorneys general of what are called the Quintet Nations, or you might call them the Five Eyes Nations we've spoken about before, who've had an intelligence sharing and police sharing agreement since the end of World War II, virtually.
Yeah.
The five key English-speaking nations agreed that they would kind of work towards this as a joint project. The Attorneys General met, I think it was in Perth last year, but it was certainly in Australia. So we're talking the United States, the UK and Australia, and then Canada and New Zealand are then lesser partners. And they've globally agreed that this is the strategy that they want, and this is the recommendations that they'll be kind of making out to the rest of the world as well.
So essentially what that means, if let's say you have a web-based email or whatever it is, any sort of email, the people who provide you with that email have to keep every message that you send.
That's the thing. That's not the contents of it. We're talking about the data about it. So it's
not the actual email, just the fact that you sent it,
where you connected to the internet from when you sent it, who you sent it to. So the from and to email addresses, the date and time you sent it, the internet address of the computer you were on, and the internet address that the person at the other end used to log in and collect that email, and what time they collected it, and that's that sort of thing. The problem is that the proposal, and I will say it's only a discussion paper at this stage,
yep,
but the language in it is a bit vague. It's not the kind of firm, concrete technical language that a programmer would use to then make a system to actually do this.
Right.
It's written in political speak, not technical speak, and that's kind of put people on edge, because technical people like language to be specific and technical and concrete, whereas politicians like it to be vague so they can sick the lawyers onto it later and bend it to their will.
Yes, what a complicated proposal. So they may be able to keep essentially your footprints in a way of who you communicate with, not necessarily the message, but it's a tough dilemma, because I remember this stuff being used to solve crimes. There was one, I can't remember the exact details, so I better not go into it in too much, but there was one thing where in a very high-profile case, the suspect was tracked down and arrested using
where they logged in. Are we talking fact or fiction here?
No, this is something that
This
they'd logged into their web-based email in another country, and the cops were tipped off, and the person was arrested.
I know the case. It was the girl on the North Shore who had a necklace put around her, and she was told this is an explosive necklace and it's going to blow your head. Thank you. Yes, you've got the name. That's that the case. One.
Yes, the person who was arrested, that was done because of where they logged in.
Because we had intelligence sharing agreements with the US, and he was eventually tracked down in the United States.
And they matched a security camera footage that was time-stamped with when they logged in and
from
put the things together.
Where they were in an internet cafe.
From a public, I think it was in a shop or something.
Yeah.
A little corner store.
So that kind of data matching and you know, correlating all of the facts about something is at the core of criminal investigation.
Yeah, so my point is that you can see the benefit where that kind of thing could happen.
Yeah.
But do we want to treat everyone as a criminal scooping this stuff up?
Because let's say in an average day, how many phone calls would you make a day, Dom? Not counting like talkback calls coming in.
Not that many, actually, but messages that I would send and so on.
Websites that you would look at?
Oh, a fair few. An awful lot. Just doing Norman the Quiz, hundreds.
So when you talk about, I went to Facebook and I went to here and I did this at this time and I went to this website.
Mm.
So it's kind of like saying, what were all the titles of the magazines you looked at today?
Yes.
What was every shop you went into, every person you stopped to on a street corner to talk to, who did you talk to and what time and for how long were you talking? It would make you
uncomfortable.
And that's at the heart of it. What I think is the real debate here. People get into the whole technical aspects, and there is one argument which says if people have to store all this stuff, you're creating a great honeypot of data which criminals would love to break into, and which every technical person at the internet service provider might be able to get access to. And if they're not paid well and someone offers them $500 to kind of look something up, it could be a problem. Now, that's a whole technical angle. I think the most important issue is the checks and balances that were built into how police could tap our telephones developed over the entirety of the 20th century while we had telephones. we probably don't want to rush into this and trying to solve it by next Wednesday or whenever, within a few weeks, because we're really fundamentally changing the way people communicate here.
This is why it's good there's a full parliamentary inquiry on this. We're talking to Stilgherrian about the data retention proposals currently being considered. And I must say, I thought they were closer to passing all this stuff than they are, so it's good to have that.
I mean, there is a sense. I mean, I'm sure that in various police and intelligence services headquarters around Australia, there is a frustration that the government's actually asking the people about this.
Normally just say, because terrorism and that's...
Because terrorism and child pornography and the police get all the new laws they want. You know, we have had the internet for quite a while now. We've had commercial internet in Australia since the mid-1990s, and I haven't actually seen civilization crumble around us. There's no burning cars in the streets and buildings collapsing and dogs breeding with cats and all
and
that stuff.
Osama bin Laden didn't even use email. He had minions with USB drives, so there you go.
Well, that's right.
Now, I want to ask you very briefly about a Facebook story that's come as well, because we know an awful lot of our listeners use Facebook.
Silly people.
We're going to go to talk about sport very soon with Rory McDonald, the Del Piero signing, what does it mean, all that sort of thing. But first, social apps, all this sort of stuff. I know you're a Facebook skeptic. You left Facebook.
Yeah, 2 and a bit years ago.
But people now, you logged into Facebook, there are all these other sites and apps and so on, all those games you play in your browser, the Farmvilles of this world. But also when you go to another site, for instance, a news website, and you click on like, do you know how much data you're handing over and who you're handing over to?
Yeah, well, most people don't. And I'll try and sum up very quickly the two concerns people should have there. One is that any app that plugs into Facebook, if it asks for it and you just kind of don't read the fine print and say yes, it's not just letting you play that amusing little game or whatever it might be. It's also getting a copy of who your friends are, who your friends of friends are, who's posting on your wall.
And all the real names.
And all their real names and all their email addresses. And if you've been silly enough to fall for the, oh, we need your telephone number for security, you know, and you've handed over your mobile phone number as well. It's like, sorry, why does Facebook need your phone number again? Oh, just because it's really handy to then match that and cross-match it to another marketing database.
Well, this is the thing. Doesn't the Facebook app go into your phone book on your smartphone and basically get all those
details? There was one that did that. Facebook claimed that was a mistake, and they fixed the mistake.
Funny how the mistakes always seem to give them more of our private information.
Yeah, it is funny that, isn't it?
So, as always, we've said it many times with Still before, but be very careful where you click online and...
Yep.
Make sure you know where your data's going. Keep safe on the web.
Absolutely. And if you're not sure yourself, ask that tech-savvy relative who is.
Thank you very much for joining us, Still.
Cheers, Dom, anytime.
You can find Stilgherrian's work at ZDNet, The Drum, Crikey, all sorts of other places. He's commentates on tech across the internet.
I'm a media whore.
He's a media guy. All right, up next we're going to talk sport with Rory McDonald.